few things I want to talk to you about tonight. Nothing major or big, but something maybe we want to consider. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. That's okay, it says. Sunday night, don't bother me. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let us begin in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, how we pray that God, you would help us now this evening. I pray that God, the Spirit of God, would be our teacher, our guide. Lord, I pray that God, you would just instruct our hearts tonight in these most wonderful truths. I pray that God, you'd engraft them deep within inside of our hearts and our souls and our affections. God, we wish to be more fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A fruit, Father, Lord God, that reveals to the world that we are the disciples of Christ. I pray, Father, that God, you'd strengthen our small church. Lord, give us grace and wisdom. We pray that God, you would bless us with your presence. Bless our ministries. I pray that we'd ever be humbled for the simple fact that you would even choose to serve, to choose us to serve you. We pray that, Father, you would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. Now speak to our hearts tonight, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, I want to remind you tonight that these blessed exhortations found in 2 Peter are not only very important for the believer's assurance and hope of eternal life, of which Peter speaks here, but these virtues, when they abound in our hearts and our lives, they enable us as God's church, and this is vitally important for us to understand, they enable us as God's church to shine as a beacon in this wicked world of sin. They enable us to show the world that we are truly disciples of Christ. We sang one of those songs a few minutes ago, and I liked how it ended. It said, "Let my life show forth His praise." Words are not enough. Let my life show forth His praise. And beloved, we do live in a very perilous day and age. And by that I simply mean, there is a spiritual apathy and negligence amongst God's people. The world is looking at the church today in general and saying, all I see are hypocrites and people who profess to be Christians and yet they live the same way I do. Now, I don't want to blanket statement everyone, and that's not a condemnation on everyone. I'm simply saying we all have to believe or understand, I believe we do, that we live in a day and age where the church seems to be powerless in the world. The gospel is not affecting people. Churches are struggling with inward divisions and schisms and pains. We have to admit that we're not being very fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, truth of the matter is, we are very barren in a general sense. And by that, I mean all believers in general. And so it's important for us, here in Coleman especially, in a small community where there's professing 22 churches, it's important for us, beloved, that we should live forth the Christianity that we profess in a manner and fashion that when people see us, they see something different about us. And it's not merely us ourselves, but it's who we believe in. We need Christianity, or a Christianity that bears fruit before a world that's looking at religion in general terms and declaring it to be nothing but hypocrisy. And in a lot of ways, beloved, they have a right, or they're just in declaring that. So it's important for us, especially in this day and age, where we see so little fruits of godliness and so little fruits of Christianity, that Grace Baptist Church, in our own community, without pointing fingers to others and condemning others, and that's not what we're doing, but that we should strive, that Christ would be illuminated from our lives, that we would be so Christ-like in our actions and our behavior, like the brother spoke about this morning with David. Very, very impressive how he looked at David there. And even in the midst of all these things of Saul hating him and wanting to kill him, David still carried himself in a manner that influenced other men. And that's for the good. And that's what we should be. We should be people that, regardless of how the world treats us, we should be able to carry ourselves in a way that other people would be impressed with our character. Amen? And so that's why it's important for us to take heed to what Peter's saying here about improving these graces. And I cannot emphasize that enough because it requires a lot of diligence. Peter even says that two or three times in chapter 1. Diligently, be diligent in these things. Because it's not an easy task. It's something that we constantly have to seek to improve in. And I hope and pray that we would be stressed by that because, you know, for a church to make her boast of talents and abilities and works, yet lack that inward Christ-like spirit, that will one day prove to be her shame and her ruin. We have to be able to bear forth that fruit. And that's what Peter's talking about. It is not how we say, Lord, Lord, nor how good we prophesy in His name, nor how many wonderful works we have done in His name, which assures a church of God's love and favor, but the church's Christ-likeness. I like what Machane said. The Lord's not looking for great works, but great Christ-likeness. Amen? And that's exactly what Peter is exhorting the believers here. He's exhorting them, and as we've already seen, and I won't go over that, he's exhorting the persecuted believers, regardless of the situation you find yourself in. And I know you're being persecuted, and they were at this time being severely persecuted. Peter still exhorts them, encourages them to live the Christian life. And so he begins this whole list here of saying, add to your faith these different virtues, and be diligent to do that. And therefore, I hope and pray that we would be as well. I hope and pray that we would always be examining ourselves and searching our hearts, the way that we're living, the virtues that we profess to have, that we might examine ourselves to make sure that we're growing in these things. And beloved, we can always grow in all of these things. We never reach maturity in any of these virtues. We're always growing. That's why Peter's wording here is add to, improve. It's a continual thing. It's not you're going to reach a state in temperance that you'll never have to improve on that again. That's not what he's saying. Always be improving yourself on these things. And therefore, I hope and pray that God would stir in our hearts and give us a desire to constantly improve ourselves in these things. And so, let us begin with the next one, which Peter has here, with that small exhortation. He says, give all diligence, verse 6, give all diligence, add to your faith, he says here, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. Now, he puts temperance and patience together. And that's well said. Remember last time when we looked at temperance, we was talking about being temperate not only in physical things, eating and drinking, but temperance also in the spiritual things. I thoroughly enjoyed the discussion after church this morning. It really, really encouraged my heart to sit around with other believers who have maybe differences of convictions in certain areas and still be able to discuss these things with open heart, with open mind, with a desire to benefit other people, to help other people, not to be a hindrance. That's temperance. You see, when we get to a spirit to where our convictions are the sole rule and authority of all believers' faith and practices, that's when you've got problems in a church. Walls begin to be built up. Distances begin to be made. Over things that are in themselves non-essential. Okay? Non-essential. There's where temperance comes in. There's where the spirit of temperance comes in. Being temperate in all these things. Maybe, like Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and 15, maybe we're dealing with a weaker believer that hasn't come to the knowledge of this yet. And we as older believers need to take that always into remembrance when we're dealing with people in our church. Remember who you're talking to. Try to keep in your mind, this might be a young believer, maybe a believer that's been a long time in the Lord, but been in a church where they haven't grown. Maybe they don't know things like you do. Maybe they haven't had the enlightenment you have by God's grace. But remember who you're talking to and be careful and use the spirit of temperance in trying to instruct other believers. Amen? This is very vital for us to improve on, especially in our relationships with one another. I've seen that happen so often where Christians, their fellowship begins to grow cold and indifferent over things that are really not essential. Not essential. And so that's where temperance comes in. But Peter puts temperance and patience together, and believe me, they go together, hand in hand. Praise God, the Holy Spirit put them together. But patience has more to deal with afflictions than just being patient with somebody. Patience in the Scripture has more to do. As a matter of fact, the word patience isn't even found in the Old Testament. You'll find patiently, but not patience. And you only find it twice in the Old Testament. Patience is basically referred to in the New Testament. Not saying that the Old Testament doesn't refer to patience. Proverbs is full of the spirit of patience. The Old Testament has it there, but patience itself is brought to the forefront in the New Testament because of the work of Christ in our hearts. Because of the work of grace in our hearts, we should be men and women of patience when it comes to trials and persecutions. And that's basically what patience deals with in the New Testament. It's not just being patient generally, but it's patience in regarding to trials, afflictions, wrongdoing towards ourselves, injuries. Be patient. And that's why temperance and patience goes together. Amen. I like what Augustine said about patience. He said, "Patience is that virtue which had rather suffer evil and do none than do evil and suffer none." Now, you have to think about that statement for a minute, but it makes sense. Patience is that virtue which had rather suffer evil and do none than do evil and suffer none. That's patience. Very, very well put. Patience is a vital and essential virtue with every true believer who desires to be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should diligently strive to add or improve to his faith. Being patient. Of all virtues found in 2 Peter in this whole list here, this one of patience is the hardest to learn. Okay? Yet the most rewarding of them all in this life. Over in Luke chapter 21. The Gospel of Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 19. Let's start in verse 16. "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." In your patience, you possess your souls. You keep your souls. You keep your state of heart and mind in patience. This is a virtue, dearly beloved. Now, again, without grace, we cannot improve this. And I hope you understand that. I'm preaching that from that viewpoint. This is not something we can work of ourselves. It's an assistance of the Holy Spirit helping us. So I just want to clear that up. So when I'm dealing with this, you'll understand where I'm coming from. But patience is one of the most hardest virtues to learn and practice and to exercise. It is. Because when we suffer ill at the hands of other people, we're not being very... Oftentimes, we don't exercise patience. And patience is not only saying, "Well, I'm patient, I won't just say nothing." It's more than that. It goes much deeper than that. And I hope and pray you'll see that. But the patience of what she's talking about, possessing your souls, very important terminology here. You're going to be able to possess your peace, your joy, your state of mind. You're going to be able to condone yourself with this virtue of patience. In other words, when people do you injury, or afflict you, or hate you, or persecute you, you're not only going to be patient, but that patience is going to enable you to keep and preserve your joy and peace in God. That is a big difference. Than rather just saying, "Well, I'm bearing with this. I'm being patient, long suffering." This is what he meant by, "You shall possess your souls." You're going to be able to keep your souls, your heart, and your mind. And beloved, this is a very difficult virtue for us to exercise. Yet it's very, very vital for us if we're going to abound in the fruits of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because our patience are oftentimes put to the test. It could be small, minor injuries done to us by our family, by our loved ones, by church members. And it's constantly put to the test. Not that we just keep our mouth shut and don't say nothing, because God looks at the heart. He's not looking at the outward. We might outwardly condone ourselves, restrain ourselves. He says, "Possess your souls." You see? So that I'm not disturbed by this. My spiritual mind and heart is not disturbed by this. Beloved, that is a work of grace in the heart of the believer. And so it's important for us to understand that. A patience which possesses our souls is patiently bearing all afflictions, reproaches, indignities, and persecutions while still maintaining a high level of spiritual joy and peace. That sounds almost impossible, don't it? How can I endure afflictions and injuries and still be able to be joyful and rest in peace? An example is Paul and our dear brother after they stoned him and threw him out of the city. they raised up and took each other in arm and walked away full of joy that they were able to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. You see? Now, I'm sure that on one side they were burdened that they rejected the gospel, that they had wanted nothing to do with Christ. And yet, because they possessed their soul in patience, they could maintain that spirit of joy and peace. And beloved, this is so vital for us, especially in this day and age, where such patience is constantly being tried, if not by the hatred from the world, despising of the world, but even in our own family relationships, even with those whom we love and whom we adore, our patience are constantly put to the test. And that's why it's wonderful how the Apostle Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, would put temperance and patience in one line. Amen? So that we might be able to do that. This is a mature believer. This is a mature believer that is able, by the grace of God, to exercise, improve this virtue of patience when dealing with other people. Regardless of its, again, the world, or regardless of its Christians. We need so much more of this virtue amongst Christians. So much more of it, because we do, beloved. We hold our convictions and our opinions way too high. Way too high. We esteem our convictions way too high. Rather than desiring in our hearts to be a blessing to others, to instruct others, and we might be totally scripturally right in our convictions. Yet, when we hold that convictions too high, we set ourselves above everyone else. And then we're not exercising patience when somebody questions us, or when somebody throws something up in our face about our convictions. We get disheartened, we get troubled, we get bitter, we get angry, we get troubled. You possess your soul in patience. And patience will always think the best of others in spite of how much they're injured. That's godly patience. And always think the best of others. We'll find that out in Romans chapter 5. But patience leads to experience. Remember? And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Amen? So that's why it's important for us. Let nothing disturb or distress you. That's a very high demand, isn't it? Let nothing disturb or distress you. Possess, lay hold of that peace and joy in your souls which the world can't take away from you. Remember John chapter 14 and John 15? The Lord talked about His peace. My peace I give unto you. He said that my joy might be full in you. Patience is what is the guardian of those things. Patience is the guardian of our peace and our joy. It really is. It's the guardian. It keeps those things active and lively in our hearts. You know, too often as believers we allow afflictions and persecutions and injuries from others to steal away our joy and our peace. We do. We're all prone to do that. We're all weak. We're all frail. We all fall into that. That's why Peter says, improve in this. Amen? If Christ would have allowed all His persecutions and injuries to hinder His joy set before Him, beloved, where would we be today? We would all have no hope. Even Peter. Don't forget, the Lord's our example, not man. But look at our Lord in His own life. How in His last hours here amongst men, he was betrayed, He was denied, He was forsaken. And yet after His resurrection, the first thing He wanted to do was meet with His disciples. The first thing He wanted to do was show Peter that He still loved him. Lovest thou me? He possessed his soul in patience. And He's our example. Again, Romans chapter 5 says, patience leads to experience. And don't we all want to be more experienced believers? I don't know about you, but I want to mature in my Christian life. Beloved, I really want to mature in my Christian life. And this is why I say it's very difficult in this day and age, because it just seems like there's a state of spiritual apathy and slothfulness amongst believers. And that's why we're having so many believers not being fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to be guilty of that, but to be able to exercise these things, that we might truly be the disciples of Christ, not only in word, but in deed. Amen? That we might live out the James life. If you have faith and no works, your faith is dead. If you have faith, let me see it by your works. I like James. Can we say that? James says that. James says, you want to see my faith? Watch my works. That's a bold proclamation. And yet every true believer should be able to say that. Beloved, in this day and age when heresy abounds everywhere, in this day and age when we have a multitude of churches teaching so many false religions, we're going to have a lot of people come through that door that is confused, a lot of people that's wrapped up in false teachings, a lot of people that believes in false things. We need to be able to exercise temperance and patience in dealing with those people. A lot of churches don't. That's why I'm really cautious about literature that we put up in the public, because I don't want to be immediately offensive to people. And sometimes that is. Sometimes they are, if you're not careful. It's like reading the Puritans or the Reformers. If somebody came to me and says, well, what about reading Puritans or Reformers? Well, from my own experience, somebody has to be taught to read the Reformers and Puritans. Otherwise, they'll get totally lost or they're confused. You have to be taught to read them because they were completely different in all their way of teaching and preaching than they are today. Amen? And it's the same thing with doctrines of grace. If they walk in here in a church, just for example, and I'm not belittling the doctrine, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from. I wouldn't want them to walk up with TULIP up here on the wall. Total depravity, you know, the whole TULIP thing. Because I wouldn't want them to walk in and immediately be offended. Now you're saying, well, then that's the truth. Well, that might be the truth. But, beloved, that's not exercising temperance and patience. You see what I'm talking about? Our desire is that people would come to acknowledge these things, to embrace these truths. And that's why I say it's important for us, as we teach these wonderful truths, that we exercise these virtues. Christ did the same thing. Look the way he dealt with the Pharisees, how he dealt with the lawyers, how he dealt with everyone. When they came up and asked him questions, he'd ask a question back. He'd give them all these types and illustrations and parables, and he would be patient with men. Remember the woman at the well? And a drink of water. You know the whole story. And he illustrates to her and does all these things to her and brings her to see her own guilt. Amen? And what does she do? She doesn't run off condemned and criticized and judged. She runs off to tell the whole village that, hey, he's here. He's down at the well. Come see him. Amen? Same thing with Nicodemus. Always a little bit sterner with Nicodemus, but he still dealt patiently with Nicodemus, this master of religion. You see, that's what we need in this day and age. Beloved, we really do need that. And one of the greatest problems we've had, I believe, in this generation, and I don't want to follow this too far, but one of the greatest problems we've had in this generation of Calvinists or people who believe in the doctrines of grace is people who don't know how to declare or explain such doctrines are blowing people out of the water. I'm telling you, the first time I come to really face the doctrine of limited atonement, it about blew my socks off. I did not want to believe that. I fought against that doctrine. I said, no, it can't be. And I wrestled with the Lord with it. And I read books, and I read Scripture, and I prayed, and I read Scripture, and I read books, and I wrestled with it. But, beloved, it's important for us in this day and age, if we're going to contend for the faith, that we contend for the faith in those virtues whereby we can help people come to see and acknowledge these truths, not merely stand up and blow them out of water. You follow me? So temperance and patience is necessary for these things. And we need to use the wisdom God's given us. I always taught in our Bible school when I was over there the 4.5 years we had it. You know, I always tried to practically make application to these things. If for example, if the attributes of God does not impress your life, you haven't learned them. If they haven't changed and conformed your life, you haven't learned them. You haven't learned them. You might have learned them intellectually, but you haven't learned them. Learn of me, Christ said. Learn of me. And how was Christ? My yoke is what? Easy. And I'm meek. If we learned of Christ, that's how our yoke is going to be with others. Amen? Because that's our desire to do that. So it's important that we practice these things. These virtues, again, like I said in the beginning, are not only that we won't be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, but that we might shine forth in this darkened community, that people might realize. I had somebody give the testimony of this last week of this church, and they're not of this church. They said, you know what, difference about Grace Baptist Church? Grace Baptist Church lives different, they teach different, they preach different than any other church in the community. And that came from somebody who's not a member of this church. And it's not boasting, I'm simply saying, beloved, that's a good testimony. That's a good testimony. God help us that we not be filled with pride or arrogancy with that, but that we'd strive to continue in that. So that people, somebody who's telling me, well, you need to get the church filled with sinners. Well, I agree with that. I believe a church ought to be seeing converts and sinners ought to be converted. But beloved, there's a lot of true believers out there that are starving spiritually, that want to know more about Christ, long to know more about Christ, and they're having this struggle like we did. I don't know about you, but when I was in the independent fundamental movement there for a while, it got to a point to where I thought, this can't be everything. There's got to be more to this than the basic fundamentals of the faith. It's got to be more than just going out and winning souls and coming back and, you know, and that's it. There's got to be more to Christianity. The doctrines of grace opened a whole new world to me. And they continue to be opened. There's a lot of Christians out there that desire that same thing. When they see those truths exercised in our lives, then they'll desire it. They've had enough of people speaking about them. May God give us grace to exercise them. Amen. So that's why it's important that we do that. By patience and continuance and perseverance in the ways of God, we shall find our lives and enjoy our souls. That's what possessing your souls in patience means. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, the Lord said, the world's going to hate you, but if you endure to the end, you shall be saved. That's patience. Endure it. Endure in the end. That is patiently enduring persecutions for Christ's sake. Not moved by the afflictions they suffer, but stand fast in the faith, hold fast the profession of it, go on in their Christian course without moving to the right or the left. That's enduring. Staying the course. Walking. Amen? The talk. Living the life of faith. Not being disturbed by it. Continuing on in it. And that's what we need to practice. That's what we need to know more of. And that's why he says patience. Patience, beloved, is that grace which allows us to establish our hearts. Again, like I said, it's not only guardian of our joy and our peace, but it allows us to establish our hearts. If we're patient, beloved, our hearts are made sure and firm. They're established. So as no persecution, affliction, or injuries shall upset or disrupt us in our joy, happiness, service, or Christian duties. Patience enables us to do that. I have seen so many Christians in their service fall to the wayside because they've been injured, they've been hurt. I've seen this in Germany. I've seen a man over there in Germany, just one case of many, who is doing a wonderful work out on the street with the drug addicts. Well, simply because he didn't have enough people in the church, he thought, backing him up. And they were by prayers, but not everybody had time as he did. He gave up on it and threw it in and for months didn't do the work. And he was discouraged by the way others responded. And I encouraged him that you can't look at others when you're serving Christ. Not in that fashion. If God's called you to a duty, stay the course. Amen? It doesn't matter what other people are doing. If that's what God's told you to do, stay the course. That's patience. You keep going. Amen? And that's when we reap the fruits of it. Amen? We might not reap the fruits now. We might not reap it in a year. Beloved, but there's promises in God's Word that says if you cast your bread upon the water, it'll come back. Those that go out and sow in tears shall reap in joy. There's enough promises in God's Word that assures us if we endure patiently in our service for Christ, if we're improving in these virtues and these graces, and we're fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God will bless our deeds. I was listening to a sermon the other day on the internet, and I'm bringing this to a close, but it was a church in England celebrating their 200th year in the community. 200 years. That's a testimony. And it started out with three preachers who just happened to be traveling through, felt a burden for the area, started meeting in homes, a few people met, they started having a church, they started having church in cottages, and there where they had churches and cottages, today the church is built, they're celebrating their 200th anniversary of a church being in that community, faithfully preaching the gospel. Beloved, I'm not saying the church walls are being extended because somebody's coming in, but they've had a testimony in that community for 200 years. I'm not saying, and I hope and pray that would be the course or the case, I'm not saying that our church, our walls would be expounded. We wouldn't have room to be standing out in the street. That might not be the case, but beloved, we should be giving forth a solid testimony in the community. And we can do that if we exercise ourselves in these virtues. Let me close with Hebrews chapter 10. Most of you probably know this verse. It's a wonderful verse. But Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 35 and 36. Or yeah, 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't get rid of it. Don't cast it off. Which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You see there? Don't cast forth your confidence. It has a great reward. But you have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, after, patience, that after you might, he says here, receive the promise. Amen. Beloved, sometimes sowing in a field takes a long time. James talks about that. The laborer, the harvestman, he waits patiently. He sows the seed. He can't do anything else besides that. The only thing a harvestman or a farmer can do, he sows that seed, and the rest of it, that's it. It's up to God. If enough rain doesn't come, if the sunshine don't come right, he has no control. All he can do is sow the seed. Beloved, all we can do is sow the seed. All we can do is show forth the fruit. All we can do is live the life. We might water, or somebody else might plant. We might water. Vice versa. But God must give the increase. And He gives the increase when we begin to grow and bloom in our Christian life and improve in these virtues and these graces. Beloved, God blesses the church. The community realizes it. It's evidenced by all. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. When Peter and James and John stood before the Sanhedrin Council, they said they took the knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. Why? The way they spoke. The things they spoke about. May Grace Baptist Church have that testimony in this community. It might take a while. But beloved, if we're fervent, if we're diligent, if we're enduring, God will bless our efforts. May God grant us more of this virtue of patience. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.